Hallelujah. But do you know you're going to inherit all things? Nothing he'll withhold from you. That's your God. Your God is a giver. I shared with the first service, can you imagine his palace? How about streets of transparent gold? It's so pure. I don't know how thick the streets are, but normally concrete could be 4 to 6 inches. Asphalt may be a little more. Let's just say it's 6 inches deep, the streets you'll walk on. I don't know how many miles there are, but they're all paved like transparent gold. How about the New Jerusalem when that descends? He didn't use wood or stone. He's going to make each door one pearl. And there's 12 gates that lead in. What would the value of that be? Oh, let's move on. I'm going to make the building. I'm not going to use mortar like you have bricks. I'm going to use every precious stone, probably some that we've never seen in the fullness. That'll be the foundations. Can you imagine when the glory comes in, not artificial light, the glory of God, how beautiful that's going to be? How it's going to cascade everywhere. And that's for us. That will be our dwelling place. How many think that's pretty awesome? God's going to lavish us with the best that he has. The Bible says, all the gold and all the silver is mine, says the Lord. I may have sprinkled some there that you can use, but it all belongs to me. Hallelujah. How many of us, this is going to be pretty awesome. I don't know if in earthly terms we could describe the wealth of what it'd be. Now, I don't know what gold's going for right now, but it's got to be at least close to 2,000 an ounce. Somebody can look it up real quick. Can you imagine what a street, just one street, what that would weigh, what that would cost in money? Yet God doesn't think it's too much to give that to us. How many of us were related to him? Hallelujah. How many of us, he's made us in Revelation chapter 1. Are you there? Now the first service I had like this little belt girdle thing, but it fell off, so we had to take that off. Amen? It got down to my knees and I didn't know it was there. And my wife's sitting on the front row. She's going, I'm like, I look pretty good. What's wrong? She said, you got to take that off, all right? I mean, it's nice to have a good woman. Yeah. Amen? I shared with the first of you, hey, it needs an adjustment you're making, right? Listen, if I had a booger in my nose, I wanted you to tell me, amen? Don't let me preach the whole service with that there. Oh, come on, amen? Like a piece of toilet paper gets stuck to your shoe. Don't you want to know until you drag the whole roll out in the hallway? I felt bad for this one lady. She had real heels on, and a piece got stuck in her heel, and it actually went down the hallway. I go, oh, right there, hold on. Let me step on that, amen? She felt real embarrassed, but she's glad no one else saw. So come and say amen. How many of us, it's nice to have somebody come along and speak something. In Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 6. For he has made us kings and priests unto God of his Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. I want you to know that we will reign with Christ. I said we will reign with Christ. Notice that he has made us kings and priests. Many times we look at ourselves and well, I'm just a lowly believer. I'm glad I'm saved. I am too. But you're so much more than that. Salvation got you in the door. Salvation restored the relationship. But God wants to know who we are. Do you know he's not going to say that to Satan? He's not going to say that, hey, you're going to reign with me. No, we will. Now, I mean, that's pretty awesome. In my life, I've been in one castle, one real castle. It was in Germany, and it was pretty phenomenal. Pre to the war, they had all kinds of resources and materials. They had marble. There was Persian rugs. And one area they took us through is that they overlaid the stairwell with gold, the handrails included. It was unbelievable. I didn't want to touch it. I just went down the stairs going, oh my, that it's real gold. And they overlaid it all the way down. I'm thinking to myself, what craftsmen did they have back then that could do that? And we're not talking about little skinny hands. We're talking those real big fat wood ones. And each area where, you know how it's like, you see little bevels on it? Each part of the gold was beveled in there. I'm like, man, just the stairwell was unbelievable. And then they took us down farther and said, here's where the war came. And all the resources stopped. And it was just plain. They had some plank boards down, some old boards, and you could see that all the marble stopped and it's unfinished. And I thought to myself, what a contrast between here and here. As we walked through the building, they had giant chandeliers. They had hundreds of them. And each one of them carried several hundred candles. They were huge. They were probably 8 to 10 feet in diameter with hundreds of candles. And our particular tour, there was a group ahead of us and a group behind us. And when we got there, we were pretty much near the end, the last group. And I saw that behind us, there were people that were starting to use those snuffers on scaffolds, putting them out. And I stopped for a minute. I asked the director, I go, what are they doing? There's people that only light, and there are people that put them out. That's their whole job. That once they got them all lit, it's all day long it takes. And then the last group that goes through, they start to put them out for the night. I go, that's job security, but a whole lot of work. Are you with me? Everything was authentic. The Persian rugs, I've seen rugs and material that I never thought possible. The colors were unbelievable. Then I felt really bad when one of our individuals threw up on one. She was sick from all the travel, and how many think that was bad? Amen? So I'm cleaning up this unbelievable Persian rug with what I had with me. Somebody say amen. I felt bad for her, but I'm like, ooh, Lord Jesus, I hope they don't charge me for that one. Amen? But how we had to get there by horseback. They pulled this wagon. There was no roads that we could go on. So everybody who was with us, we got on this wagon, and we dangled our feet off as it went around this mountain up to the top. No cars were up there. Then they took us through where the king, he ate. And they had this giant bed. It was unbelievable, all overlaid. And then they showed us the secret compartment. If they were ever invaded, they pushed this panel open, and the king could escape and go all the way down to the water, get on a boat, and leave, and nobody would know. It was so built in. We're talking old school technology, but you couldn't tell until they propped the door open. Then they brought us over to where his little living room was. The king at that time didn't want to eat with the people. So what they had is these giant Bombay doors that the cook would cook down in the first level. They would prepare the food on this giant table. Then it would come up through the floor and it would stop underneath the table. So he didn't have to see anyone. They would crank it up, these giant turn wheels. So the king could totally isolate himself. The table, I bet, was that thick. Huge. Nothing was small school. The giant chains and sprockets they had to have somebody who had some muscle to put that up there. I was kind of fascinated all that. That how the king lived was incredible. How many knows that we serve the King of Kings? I said, we serve the King of Kings. We see some of the beauty right now on this planet. And if you've ever been outside of Metro Detroit, there's some pretty things. There's some nice scenery, some nice mountains, some nice oceans. Are you with me? Can you imagine a place where God's going to prepare for us? In Revelation 5, verse 10 says this, He has made unto us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Since Jesus is King of Kings, how many knows that He's made us kings and priests too? Men and women included. Ladies, you won't be excluded in this kingdom. Somebody say amen. Now, can you imagine the crown that's on Jesus' head? Can you imagine one day the King of Kings will come? How many knows whatever crown you'll have, you'll cast it at His feet? See, when you get to heaven, there'll be no greed there. There'll be no situations where like, well, they got more than me. How come I didn't get that? You will not be blessed past the Word of God. The Word of God will be your gauge in that arena. The Bible says you want to be greatest there, you learn to be a servant of all. That's the entrance to greatness. Jesus said. The disciples disputed, Lord, I want to sit on your right and your left. And Jesus said, that's not mine to give, but whom my Father has appointed. But if you want to be great in the kingdom, learn to be a servant. Somebody say amen. When it comes to Jesus, I look at him, he is the king, isn't he? Right now we have a spiritual kingdom. Right now we still live in this physical world, but you're seated in heavenly places with Christ. Would you agree? Yes or no? I mean, it's a promise. As a king, there are certain requirements that the king has to have. I'm going to go through a few of those. As a king, you know what? You need to be loyal. How would you like to have a king that would turn on its people? A king needs to be faithful. When I look at a king, he must endure. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Hear this portion. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we do not believe, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Do you know when he swears? He swears by no higher. I swear by myself. I'll keep that. All of us swear by a higher power. But he swears by himself. Because there's no higher than him. I mean, is that we need to be faithful. Do you believe God's work in faithfulness in his people? Yes or no? As God's training you to reign, are you becoming faithful? Are you becoming loyal? And is endurance starting to set in? Come on. I share with the first service, I have a message called Training to Reign. And it's a prospect where they take horses, and back then they pulled chariots. And what they would do is they would train the horses so they wouldn't jump, be spooked, do anything inappropriately, the whole 10 yards. And the last test they have is they take a firearm and they put it right next to the horse's ear and they fire it to see if he jumps, if he moves. Because you wouldn't want the king to be getting in the chariot and have the chariot run him over. How many knows God's making us fit to reign? Somebody say amen. How many knows each area that God wants to work in us, he'll perfect that which concerns us. I shared this with the first service. That, listen, if you're in a job and it feels like you're not doing anywhere, it's dead end or whatnot, he's still using that in the kingdom. Believe me, he will still bless that area and still be useful in what God has. There is no downtime on planet Earth. Amen? He will make it work. As a king, listen to me, we need to be fit to reign. That means we're clean. How many knows the king needs to be clean? If the king's strung out on drugs, or he's drunk all the time, how can he really fit his role? In Revelation 1 verse 5 says this, Jesus was the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the king of princes on the earth, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus has qualified us to be clean in the kingdom by what he's done. We all came from different backgrounds, but the truth is that God has made us one in Christ. Everyone who's in heaven will be ones that have believed in Jesus Christ to be Lord. Everyone. From Old Testament to New. The Old Testament, they look towards the cross. We look back at the cross. During the time of Moses' day, when the law was given, he allowed animal sacrifices to be the portion until Christ came. Every generation will be held accountable by what Jesus has done. Amen? Do you know, as a king, you have victory over Satan? I said, as a king, you have victory over Satan. Revelation 21 verse 4 talks about he saw thrones and judgment. Those that were beheaded for the witness of Christ. Those that did not worship the image of the beast, received the mark of his name. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. On this earth. Now, if you live to be 100, it's really a short time compared to forever. Wouldn't you agree? But it's still not a bad time in a sin-cursed world. Would you agree? Picture 1,000 years, 10 times that. I can see the first part of the kingdom, the thousand-year millennium. 1,000 years is a pretty good time, a pretty decent amount of time. Wouldn't you agree? It is, not compared to forever. So the first 1,000 years, I can see what we're doing, reigning with Christ. The Bible says this, Satan will be bound in a pit. The influence of the demonic will not be there. The temptation towards evil will not be there. Then he'll be loosed for a short time. Those that were born during the 1,000-year time, those that were there during that time will be tempted for the first time. And the Bible says many will follow that destructive pattern. Because everyone has to be tested whether you're going to live for him or not. God's even going to turn around the sin to say, you know what? Here's what's sin, but here's righteousness. God wants to know if people are going to serve him just because there's no sin, or you're going to serve him because he's Lord of your life. And Scripture says, as many as the sands of the sea, they will turn against God. Can you imagine living in 1,000 years worth of peace and turning from God at that state? Revelation says it will happen. But we have a portion in reigning in this. Our temptation time is over. We deal with the enemy now. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So will everybody else. You'll have to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I'll get into that later. Give you more information. When it comes to being the king, every king that you ever meet in heaven will be a believer. Every single one. Nobody will be in this reigning kingdom without having Christ in their life. No one's going to sneak in and take your position. No one's going to come in and find out that, hey, your seat is taken. Everyone who's going to be there has came the way of Christ. Now, if you're taking notes, you want to do a little more studying. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and 1 Kings chapter 2 talks about, as a king, what your requirements are. When it comes to a king, he can't rely just on worldly strength and protection. Now, how many think King David went to battle? Didn't it say he was a man of war? Now, it's nice when the kingdom has peace. When Solomon started his reign, the Bible says that God caused peace in the nations. That's cool. But I've seen this, that when somebody's in a place of power and authority, a skirmish always arises. There's always a battle. Jesus said on this planet there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. That's going to happen. You need a king who's prepared to deal with things in battle. Would you not agree? When I look at it today, that king can just not rely on guns and bullets. You have to rely on the Lord. Our victory comes from Christ. When it came to Solomon as a king, you can't be entangled with ungodly relationships. I'll read this to you. In 1 Kings 11, verse 4, and it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart to other gods. For his heart was not made perfect towards his Lord as the heart of his father David was. Now, Solomon was brilliant. He was. He was the most brilliant man known on this planet. He was. But yet he missed it in this area. And God told him ahead of time, don't add to yourself horses, that type of wealth. Don't add to yourself wealth in this area. I'll bring it to you. And don't take women, foreign women, as your bride. They'll turn your hearts away. God told Solomon that straight out in a time of prayer. And what did Solomon do? He got horses from Egypt and he had hundreds of wives. And when he became old, his heart turned away from his God. I asked my wife that, if I was in the Old Testament, would you want me to have another wife along? And my wife says, there ain't no way. Amen? You just need one good woman. Oh, you ladies should have went unglued here. Amen? How many of you just need one good woman? To be fair, I share with the first service, it's better to live in an attic alone than with a brawling woman. Oh, you men, opportunity, man. Say, yeah, amen. All right? I have equal opportunity in this church. But Solomon's heart, even though he was brilliant, yet his heart was turned because of his wives. And he married people like the daughter of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was ungodly, every one of them. What are you doing mixing a godly lineage with something ungodly? That's why if we think that we can change people because we marry them, that will not happen. Marry a believer. Save you all kinds of grief. Now the Bible says if one comes to know the Lord after the relationship is going and you're pleased to live with them, do it. I have an aunt that lives with her husband. He's not saved, but they get along good. She's prayed for him all these years. But I've also seen abusive relationships where there should not be. Somebody say amen. When it comes to a king, he can't rely on or stock up on worldly wealth that draws his heart away. I've seen this in the church. God does prosper people, but your prosperity shouldn't take you away from the Lord. That should work in the kingdom. And there are so many that declare, no, if God made me rich, I'd give more. That isn't reality if he doesn't have your heart. If God doesn't have your heart, then you'll hoard that which you have. And you will be around less and less and less. Somebody say amen. I've seen it. I've lived it out. We need to say, God, you have everything. Amen. You are going to inherit everything, you guys. No wonder Jesus said, store up in heaven where rust doesn't eat it up and moss don't do it. Then truly, come and follow me, Jesus said. And I believe this with all my heart. When he spoke to the rich young ruler and said, listen to me, I've done this. He made his own credentials. I've kept the law. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. Jesus said, one thing you lack, go sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me. Then you'll be rich indeed. And the Bible says that he went away sorrowful because he had great wealth. Here's my opinion on the story. If he would have trusted Jesus by faith, I believe God could have brought all that back into his life and more. But he wanted the riches instead of Jesus. How many people will be headlong in hell that just wanted the riches and not Jesus? He wasn't looking to make the guy poor. He wasn't looking to make the guy broke. He was showing him what was in his heart. And that's what the Lord does by the Holy Spirit. He shows what's in their heart. The king needs to be in that place. When Solomon started his reign, and there was two women, one lady lost her child, they gave birth at the same time, and the lady took the other lady's child. And they brought it to Solomon and said, she has my daughter, and that's my kid. And Solomon said, bring me a sword, a dagger. And he was going to kill the child. And the real mother says, no, 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 give the child to her. Solomon said, there's the mom. And that wisdom was all across the earth. That's how wise he was. Yet he didn't continue in that. Oh, somebody say amen. As a king, we always need to prove ourselves strong. Come on. This is men and women. As a king, you're going to make decisions. You're going to make decisions in the kingdom. Are you going to say yes to him, or are you going to go the way of the world? As a pastor, I've seen pastors compromise their calling for dollars in their fellowship. I've seen it where they've done this. A big donor comes in, and they don't want to offend the donor, so they'll compromise in sin, so the offering stays big. Are you hearing me? How many politicians have been bought off by money? I'll fund your whole election if you'll vote for this for me. It can corrupt. The king needs to be the place where he can't be corrupted by wealth. We also need to learn that lesson. We're going to inherit all things. Don't compromise now. I may not receive all of it in my physical hand, but I know who I am. I inherit all things. The wealth of the wicked will truly be given to the righteous. There is no doubt about it. And the Bible says this, all the gold and all the silver is mine, says the Lord. Guess whose kid I am? I get to walk on streets like transparent gold. I get to go through doorways that have one pearl. The foundations are every precious stone. And can you imagine? I don't know how big the stones are going to be, but I've only seen a diamond in a picture that was about that big. What would a brick-sized diamond look like? What would a brick-sized emerald look like? What if it was so chiseled in that it fit perfectly, and that's how the kingdom is? How many are going to stop at the New Jerusalem and see the gate and go, dude, this is flat awesome. Amen? A pearl is made by a little bit of dirt and substance. Secretion gets in it. Time and pressure produces it. What made those? Did the hand of God come upon that and say, I make that. Hallelujah. That's where you're going to enter in. How many think it's going to be awesome? Yes or no? We need to realize that's who we are. When you realize that type of wealth, you won't be bought off by the wealth of the world. Because the wealth of the wicked is only for a moment. But hell is forever. Amen? When it comes to the king, he needs to follow God's commands. And most of all, love the Lord your God. Jesus said, this is the greatest command. Love me with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Come on. When it comes to the king, he can't be inebriated. I'll read this to you. I found this scripture. In Psalm 31, verse 4 and 5. It's not for you, O king. It's not for a king to be drunk with wine, nor his princes with strong drink. Here's why. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment. How many hear that? This king shall not consume alcohol or substance. Why? Because it perverts the judgment and they forget the law. If you had a king that was stoned and you needed something, he couldn't make the right judgment or decision. True? Now this goes for believers too. We can't stop at one drink. We'll have two. We'll have three. We'll have, are you with me? Because that's our flesh nature. Scripture says it'll pervert judgment. Aren't we kings and priests unto God? Doesn't that translate into every believer? Yes or no? Oh, that's just for them. That's just for the priest. He can have a little. Listen, when Paul told Timothy to take a little grape juice for his upset stomach, that was unfermented. Wine that ferments is one that sits. Somebody say amen. There's never contradictions in Scripture. My brother works with individuals that have mental areas where they're struggling with. And he said this, there's been a rash of young people having to come into clinic because of the THC level is so high now in these dispensaries that they become manic and hallucinogenic starts to set in. He says we have to wean them off even if it's one joint they smoke. And he says most of them come in now with suicide on their mind. See, that's the demonic side. The one has opened it up and now the enemy has invaded the thought life. You don't want a king in this condition, do you? And believe me, you can have a hangnail and get a prescription for drugs today. It's out and available. Doctors are paid that way. Pay this amount and you can have it. Listen to me, society is that way today. As a king and priest, we cannot be that way. We cannot be that way. Because God says it'll pervert judgment and you'll forget the law. Is this sobering? This is for everyone. We try to justify, well, it won't hurt. Probably not. But you're hurting the kingdom. Because what if you're called on in that moment to make a response? What if you're called on that moment in the kingdom to do what is right as a king? If somebody was smashed and drunk and maybe the Holy Spirit prompted you to witness and now you're slurring to that individual, that's a bad witness. Yes or no? Then we have to look at our life. I'm a king and priest. I cannot be inebriated no matter what. Hear me on this. Fentanyl. Fentanyl is so powerful that young people now are dying just by taking it. We're not talking about overdosing. We're talking about just taking the drug. And they're losing their life. I remember one time my wife and I were going to look at a used car. And here was a car lot. And right next to the car lot was an empty lot. And I was kind of walking around looking and looking. All of a sudden, 10 cars pulled into this lot all at once. And they were all older individuals. And there was really nothing there why they came in. So I just stopped for a minute. I'm like, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, this younger guy pulls in with his car. And every one of those cars, they all walked up to the window and got bags from the individual. They were prescription drugs they were buying on the street. And we're talking people that you would never guess buying them. And I looked at it and said, you know what? That's a drug deal for older folks right there. That's exactly what that is. They all got in their car, they grabbed their bag, and they all boogied. I saw one had a vial, like the, you know, like the pill box, they're kind of yellowish colored, lid on it. I saw several had that from this gentleman. Whatever drugs they were getting, all those cars got them, and they all left. That's society today, folks. If we think we're burying our head in the sand, the enemy has prepped people. Listen to me, it keeps people from reigning. It keeps people from the kingdom. The church needs to arise and be sober, be just, be holy. This isn't popular today, but we have to do it because it's our kingly duty. If you don't do it for any reason, do it for Jesus. Somebody say amen. To lead just and fair, we have to do it right. Here's what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs 29 verse 4. The king by judgment establishes the land, but he who receives gifts gets overthrown. It's like that little side deal done. Well, if you do this, you know what I mean? I'll put money in the coffer for your presidency. If you'll let this side, I'll make sure I pay for all your ads on the TV. The king needs to be above that. You can't be bought. Can you buy Jesus off? Yes or no? Can you buy him off while he was on this planet? No, Satan tried. Satan tried to buy Jesus off. Showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. I'll give these to you. All the power, all the glory. Jesus was not going to be bought. He knew who he was. He knew what kingdom he has. We also need to know the same. We have a kingdom that's unshakable, unmovable. That I'm not going to be bought off by Satan. That's good preaching today. Let me say amen. As members, we need to be what Christ calls us to be. We need to rule by serving and serve by ruling. We need to rule by serving. How many get it? But since you're a servant, your ruling comes out of there. You'll rule because you're a servant. And when a servant rules, it's a better kingdom. Jesus will always be a servant, but he's going to rule. He's still king. That qualifies us because then we can make right decisions. We're in the right mind. We have a right heart. And what I love about it is that I'm going to be changed into his image. As we reign and rule on Christ, I'll just pick the first 1,000 years. We'll be able to do it like Jesus does. Isn't that cool? We'll be able to make right judgments, right decisions. It will be what it needs to be. I love that. That you'll be fit to reign. And God's going to equip you as such. Now, what if your king's a stoner? I had a boss like that. This one company I worked for. He'd get high before work every single day. He'd be high. I could smell it on him. I said, man, dude, man, you're high. Look, these are machines. You're going to lose a hand or more than that. You're going to lose your life. I go, you can't be stoned coming in here. You're the boss here. Does your boss know that you're high all the time? I wasn't trying to narc the guy out, but I was a little concerned. I got to work with you. You're stoned. It was that way for a while. Until one day, the big boss came in. And he's like, what's wrong with you? You don't look right. This particular day, he was pounding him down as well as smoking a joint. And he was pretty stoned. And the boss said, are you drinking and smoking dope on my time? He tried to deny it, but you couldn't see it. So he says, you wouldn't mind if I opened your car door to see if you got open tox in your car? He asked him. He could have said no. And he could have done it. Right on the front seat, whole bottle of Jack Daniels. He says, and you're leading my people? This is your last day in my company. You are not fit to lead these people. Would you agree? That could be you. How many leaders have we had over the years that are not fit to lead? Just because you're voted in doesn't mean you have the character to handle the responsibility. That's why as believers, we at least got to vote as biblical as we can. I know there's still flesh, but the truth is that I want somebody who has the same views I do biblically about my issues. Somebody say amen. Well, they escorted this guy off and they fired him right there. It was needed. Amen. I'm just glad he didn't hurt somebody else. How many people have been hurt because we haven't been in the right mind? We thought it was okay. Nobody will know. It's just one. Amen? When I was in the police force, we had this test. And they brought this stuff called near beer in. It was like O'Doul's or something. It's really non-alcoholic. And the particular people who were in the test really had people that really would drive them home. And they had a real beer there, and they had this stuff called near beer. And they both drank it. Well, they had the blood test, the analyzing. And both of them showed up on the list, even though the one really was not supposed to. I was surprised to see that. I was surprised to see that there was traces still there, even though it said it was non-alcoholic. I saw the blood work. And I saw the test. Well, after a while, just one beer. He tested right after. Well, his particular size, he blew pretty high, just under the limit. But how many knows that you just can't stop at one? And in this test, they allowed it to go up a little more. They knew this person had a ride a little more. And it was amazing how it compounded. And by the time the test was done, this person was pretty inebriated. Then they started firing questions at him. Hear me on this. In the room, we had this test where somebody came in and they shot a gun in the room. They stole something from somebody else and they ran out. They asked the class, can you give the description of the guy who just came in? It happened so fast. There was so much chaos. There was so much noise that you really couldn't focus on. You're trying to figure out. A gun blowing off, and even if it's a blank, is unbelievably loud. And then the teacher goes, tell me who just left. How tall was he? What did he weigh? What did he look like? What was he wearing? And we did pretty poorly on it. We got a couple things right. Then they asked the one who was stoned, and it was a stammer. There was no way this person was ever going to bring the right judgment. Are you hearing me? If we think we're going to do better in this planet, we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the most perfect kingdom ever with the most perfect person reigning. Lord, I want to be in my right mind. Are you hearing me? How many think it was a good test? One that we learned from. That, hey, listen to me. We think we can handle it. We can't. I don't care who you are. We need to be in our right mind in each area. Well, I want you to know that the next time this test happened, I was ready. But they didn't do it again. Everyone who came in, I watched every bit of it. It's hair, color, dot, 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 right down the line. Never did it. But it still changed me. It prepared me. That's all they wanted. Does God want to prepare you for what's next? Yes or no? Then we need to be fair and just. We need to be in our right mind. Amen? We need to rule by serving and serve by ruling. When we rule in that way, listen to me, you're a king and a priest unto God. Now I got to stop. Amen? For you ministers, the pathway to greatness is always through servanthood. I guarantee that. Next week, I'm going to be dealing with the priest side of our lives. That there's intercession that we need to perform. Amen? There's obligations in that arena. We're called to be both. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying this message? Amen. I want to thank James again for coming and filling in here. That it's a good thing. Hallelujah. Amen. How many are training to reign? How many are looking forward to the King of Kings being that portion? Father, we thank you for this opportunity today. That Lord Jesus, truly Lord God, we want to be fit for your kingdom. And Lord, we know as a king there's obligations that we must walk in. Lord, teach us that they're not grievous, they're not hard. But Lord, we have to look at you first, then look at the people, that we do it right. Lord, we know Solomon did so many things right, but he still missed the mark. Lord, help us, Lord God, not to miss any mark, but always a bullseye in our lifetime. Now bless your people as they go. Lord, bring forth the fullness in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, God bless you. Enjoy this wonderful weather. I love it. Have a great week, and no snow till January 6th, a half inch, then it turns warm again. All right, that's my confession. God bless you. Have a good week.